bumblebees and fungicides. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. We've heard a lot about honeybees and how important they are as pollinators, but bumblebees pollinate wildflowers and crops too, and some kinds of bumblebees are in trouble. Scott McArt is an assistant professor of pollinator health at Cornell University. He found that fungicides could be playing a role in the declines of four species of bumblebees. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
First of all, how important are bumblebees as pollinators?
So in certain circumstances, they can be extremely important. So for example, the vast majority of tomatoes that you will buy at the grocery store are pollinated exclusively by bumblebees. So a lot of our tomatoes are pollinated in greenhouses, and there's a whole industry that actually ships these managed bumblebee colonies to greenhouse managers. They release them in the greenhouses, and those are the insects that are pollinating your tomatoes.
You and your team looked at 24 environmental factors to understand why these bumblebees are going through population declines. How did you land on fungicides?
So we have this excellent data set. The data set includes 10,000 different or individual bumblebee samples. And believe it or not, someone has actually gone through all of these 10,000 bees and pulled out their guts and looked for the prevalence of a particular pathogen, this Nosema pathogen. It's a microsporidian. It's related to a fungus. And this particular pathogen was prevalent in a pretty small number of the species or the individual bees, but it was fairly prevalent in a lot of these declining bumblebee species. So what we were able to do with this data set is look for landscape predictors. So the things that were around the different sites where these bumblebees were actually collected and look at the predictors of what, you know, was associated with this particular pathogen. And then in addition, we were able to say, well, we know that particular species used to be present at some of these sites, but now they were not present at those sites. And we were able to look at what those, so the same suite of 24 predictors, which of those particular variables were most predictive of loss from those particular sites where the bumblebees used to be.
You write in your paper that most fungicides are relatively non-toxic to bees, but there can be problems for bees when fungicides interact with insecticides. How so?
Yeah, so this is sort of a new area of scientific study on this particular topic. And what we're finding is fungicides can greatly increase the toxicity of particular insecticides. So they can have these synergistic interactions with insecticides. This has been observed at up to a 1,000-fold increase in toxicity. It's much more common to have, you know, about a 10-fold or even a 2-fold increase in toxicity. But what we're finding that bees are bringing back, so if you look in the pollen and look in the nectar that the bees are bringing back to the colonies, we're finding that there's a lot of pesticides that are coming back. But in the combination of those fungicides and insecticides, we don't know a lot about how these synergisms are actually occurring. So how often these synergisms are occurring and what types of toxicities result from these synergisms. So this is sort of a new area of research that pollinator health is going into right now. And it's something that we think might be predictive or might explain some of the results that we're finding with how fungicides are predictive of these range contractions of the wild bumblebees.
Scott McArt is an assistant professor of pollinator health at Cornell University. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.